It doesn't matter if you're the most brilliant scientist, the most brilliant artist, the most brilliant engineer there is. Everything you do with your mind, minus God, is futile and empty and vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." What does that mean? Empty, useless. So listen carefully. Any thought that you have that does not begin with God eventually ends in emptiness. You can be a genius and still be foolish. You could win the Nobel Prize and still miss the purpose of life. The mind was made for God, and when we turn from God, we lose our bearings. So that's the first thing that I want you to see. The exchange of the glory of God for our selfishness produces empty thinking. But secondly, that exchange also produces a darkened heart. Notice again verse 21. "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So why does the heart become dark? Because the only true light in the universe is the glory of God. Jesus said this in John chapter 8 and verse 12. He said, "I am the light of the world." If you remove the sun, what happens? The world becomes dark. If you remove the glory of God, the human heart becomes dark. A heart without God can be full of emotion, full of passion, full of desire, but still be dark. It doesn't matter how enlightened, that's what our world talks about, how enlightened a society claims to be. Without the glory of God, you are walking around in a moral fog. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 that God shines the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. When we turn away from that face, when we turn away from Jesus Christ, you are sitting in darkness. When you begin to think about the celebration of Christmas and you think about the prophecies that were made, especially in the book of Isaiah, it talks about that the world in the time of the birth of the Messiah would be a world filled with darkness. And into that darkness would come the light, Jesus Christ. When we turn away from Jesus Christ, we're sitting in darkness. And that's exactly what is happening in our world around us. We have more knowledge today than any generation before us. We have more technology than any generation before. We have more information, but somewhere along the way, we have lost wisdom. We've lost the light. And when the heart is dark, the world looks dark. And many today are stumbling in the darkness. They are searching in the darkness. They are grasping for purpose because they have exchanged the light of this world for the flicker of human wisdom. Notice thirdly what happens with that exchange of the glory of God. The exchange appears wise to the world. And notice verse 22 again. Claiming to be wise, they become fools. Something fascinating there in that verse. Because Paul says that when people turn away from God, they don't even think they're becoming foolish. They think that they're becoming wise. Isn't that interesting? The world doesn't see idolatry as foolishness. It sees it as enlightenment. It sees it as progress. It sees it as freedom. I have the freedom to choose to do whatever I want to do. Idolatry always feels intelligent to the person doing it. It feels progressive. It feels sophisticated. It feels liberating. But wisdom disconnected from God is always counterfeit wisdom. It's from the devil. Ever since the Garden of Eden, humanity has believed this lie. If I get out from under God's authority, I will be wiser, I will be freer, I will be happier. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard those kinds of words and thoughts in people's comments on the internet. Eve believed that lie. Adam believed that lie. And people today still believe that lie. If I can just get out from under the authority of God, I'll be wiser, I'll be freer, I'll be happier. You know, it's a little bit like when we're kids, or maybe you have kids who think, if I can just get out of this house, out from under mom and dad, it's going to be much freer, it's going to be much happier, everything's going to be great and hunky-dory. And you find out what it's like when you're out from under mom and dad's house. Same thing with God. The moment we try to take God's place, we end up deceiving ourselves. We think that we're gaining wisdom, but we're actually losing the very thing that makes wisdom even possible. What is that? It is the fear of the Lord. That's why Paul says, professing to be wise, they talk about it with their lips, but in the heart still and in the mind, they're fools. They become fools. Because no one is more deceived than the person who thinks, I don't need God. Today the world says, just create your own truth. Define your own identity. Follow your own heart. Design your own God. But the moment that you take the reins of your own life, you are declaring yourself wiser than God. And that is going to be bad. Paul says that is the very definition of foolishness. Because listen carefully, if you are your own God, you are always going to disappoint yourself. And that's why so many in this world live in depression and live in disappointment, because they've traded the glory of God for something else. You cannot carry the weight of your own worship. And then he says there's that fourth thing that happens in that exchange of the glory of God. The exchange is ultimately foolish because of what you traded away. You had it all. You had the gold mine. You had the Lamborghini, you had the Ferrari of life, you had Jesus Christ, and you turned him away. Paul presses deeper here in verse 23. He says, and they exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. He says this exchange is foolish for two massive reasons. One, because we trade infinite glory for worthless copies. Paul is showing us here why this exchange is so tragic. He says it's foolish because of what you've traded away. Listen to Paul's wording carefully here again. You've traded the likeness of an image for the likeness of an image of corruptible man. We trade the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man. Think about how Paul phrases that. He piles up the words there. A likeness of an image of a corruptible man. Not the real thing. Not even the image of the real thing, but the likeness of an image. In other words, a copy of a copy of a copy is what you traded for. That's what idolatry offers. Humanity takes the masterpiece of God and sells the masterpiece to buy a postcard. Imagine exchanging the sun for a sparkler. Imagine taking a priceless diamond and trading it for that little ring that you find in the gumball machine. That's the kind of deal that the world makes every single day, trading the greatness of God for the emptiness of the things of this world, of idols. That's what idolatry does. That's why Paul says that this exchange is foolish. It's a terrible bargain. And Paul adds one more reason why this exchange is foolish. He says you traded the incorruptible God for corruptible people. God is incorruptible. What does that mean? He is indestructible. He is eternal. He is unchanging. He is perfect. And you traded that for man who is corruptible. Man is like the grass that withers and fades. God lasts forever. We don't. God never changes. We change constantly. But when we let people define our worth, when we let our culture define our morality, when we let society begin to shape our identity, we are placing eternal hope in something that is temporary. God says the grass withers, the flower fades, but His word stands forever. So why would we trade what's eternal for something that's not going to last anyway? Why give up what never decays for what is going to perish? It would be like exchanging a bar of gold for a rusted bolt. That's what idolatry does. We're trusting the perishable to do what only the imperishable can do. Paul says this is why the world is collapsing morally. This is why cultures fall. This is why confusion multiplies, because humanity traded the incorruptible God for corruptible substitutes. But not only have we exchanged for the idols, we're going to look at this more in detail next time, we have exchanged God for sexual immorality. Look again at verse 24 down to verse 27. He said it goes even deeper. Therefore, he says in verse 24, therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise give up natural relations with women who were and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Paul tells us that when the human heart rejects the glory of God, it does not stop there. One exchange leads to another exchange, leads to another exchange, leads to another exchange. When we exchange the worship of God for idols and the things of this world, we also exchange God's design for sexuality for something that is far outside His will. That's the second chain exchange that happens. That second exchange doesn't happen first. It's the result of the first one. Of exchanging the glory of God. When you turn away the glory of God, everything else begins to unravel. Now, this is not the only issue he's going to talk about, sexual immorality. There's a whole long list there of 21 other things that we're going to look at later. But notice here that verse 24 is one of the most sobering statements in the entire New Testament. In fact, there are three times that Paul repeats this phrase. God gave them over. Not because he stopped caring. Not because he delights in judgment. Not because we needed to be punished, but because the most severe judgment God could allow in this life is to let a person have what they insist on having. You know, when a loving parent disciplines a child, disciplines them out of love, because they see the danger that the child can't see. When a person continually pushes away God's conviction, when a person continually pushes away God's truth, and when a person continually pushes away God's grace and says, leave me alone, eventually God says, okay. He lets them go, lets them walk the road that they've chose. He turns them over. Paul says, when humanity pushes aside God, notice what he hands them over. He does not hand them over to his anger. He could. He would be just in doing it. The wages of sin is death. But notice what he turns them over to. He turns them over to their own desires. And that's what makes this passage here so relevant, because that's what we're seeing today is not simply a cultural shift. It is a spiritual reality. It is what happens when a society decides it no longer wants God. And the moral confusion is not the cause of the problem. It's the evidence of the deeper spiritual rejection. The moment that the foundation shifts, the whole structure starts to collapse. That's why we're spending so much time in chapter 1. It's the foundation for the rest of what Paul is going to talk about. That's why this first exchange, this turning from God, is so important for us to understand. That's why we have to guard our hearts against the idolatry of every kind that there would be. Because every other form of brokenness is rooted in this one reality. You stopped worshiping the Creator and you started worshiping the created. When you give your life to Christ, Paul says that the world may think you're foolish, but God says you're wise. The world may think you're foolish for surrendering your desires to His word, but God says you're walking in truth. The world may think that you're foolish for worshiping an invisible God, but He's more real than anything else your eyes will ever see. Don't exchange the glory of God for anything. Don't trade Him for people's approval or comfort or pleasure or success. There is no idol worth the cost of your soul. Christ is to be your treasure. Christ is to be the pearl. Christ is to be the glory of God revealed. And when you have Him, you have everything. So let me ask you something as we close. Is there anything in your life right now that is taking God's place at the center of your heart? Is there anything? Is there any desire? Is there any person? Is there any pursuit that you have, any passion that you have that has become more important to you than the glory of God? Understand this, the world is constantly offering you substitutes. It is constantly telling us that something else can satisfy us better than God's will. You need the latest, you need the greatest. But the truth is this, nothing else can. Everything else is an image of an image of an image. Nothing can take the place of the one who made you, the one who loves you, the one who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. So instead of exchanging Him for something that's temporary, for something that's hollow, for something that cannot save you, you need to exchange everything you have for Him. Take your sins and trade your sins. Take your idols, the things that have taken the place of God in your life, and trade your idols. Trade your failures. Trade your fears. Trade all of those things and many more. Trade all of them for Jesus Christ. Why? Because when you have Him, you have the glory that never fades and never fails. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for showing us the truth about our own hearts. Thank You, Lord, for loving us enough to warn us when we're drifting toward idols that cannot satisfy us and cannot save us. Lord, we confess that there have been times for many of us who are here this morning. There are times, Lord, when we have exchanged Your glory for things far beneath You. We allow distractions and desires and the pressures of this world to crowd You out. So, Lord, we ask You, change our hearts. Lord, restore the light where we have allowed darkness in. Lord, renew our minds where our thinking has become empty. And Lord, remind us that everything that we truly need is found in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, draw us back to yourself. Help us to treasure you above everything else. And Lord, if there is someone who is here this morning who has never by faith trusted in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, I pray today, Lord, they would come to say, God, I want to surrender my heart and my life to you. I want to live a changed life. I want you to transform me by the power of the gospel. Father, I pray they will come this morning, not just simply because they're walking down an aisle, but Lord, because they truly in their hearts have recognized where their sin is leading them, and they want to spend eternity with you in heaven. Lord, they want to make an impact for you in this world. Lord, for the rest of us who may be here as believers, I pray, God, our hearts would be changed this morning too. Lord, that we would come in that manner, to come and repent. Lord, that we have allowed many times the darkness into our hearts, and we come repenting, asking, Lord, for you to cleanse us. Lord, I pray that you would wash us and restore us, Lord, to a right relationship with you. We ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you need to come this morning as we stand, as we sing our hymn of invitation number 311, as the Lord lays on your heart, would you come this morning, maybe for salvation, church membership, simply to pray. Brother Mike, come and lead us, please. Can be seated. I'm going to ask y'all if y'all go ahead and come back up here. This is Abby Prince this morning. She accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior recently, came and talked with Pastor Matt, and I got to talk with her too this morning some. She's accepted Jesus in her heart, wants to follow through with believer's baptism. If you're excited for her decision to come forward and profess that this morning, would you just say a hearty amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to work with them and set up a time later for her baptism. But we're so excited for you, Abby. And just know that we're all praying for you. You can go ahead and have a seat back over there. When you leave this morning, be sure to come by and encourage her about her decision. Her and the family will be back up here. I'm going to ask Brother Steve if he'll come and share our announcements.
Lord does answer prayers. Brother Jim and I met this morning to go over prayer requests. In my closing prayer, one of my prayers was if there's one person in this church this morning that does not know Jesus in their heart, that they would come forward and put Jesus in their heart. My prayer was answered. So we've got several announcements. Rima?
I'd just like to echo what Pastor Jim said earlier today. On your pew, you will find this week's Week of Prayer prayer guide that can guide you this week to learn and understand a little bit of what our international missionaries are doing to share the gospel. The idea is that for 8 days that you will spend time in prayer for all of the efforts that are going on internationally for our mission efforts. And then once knowing that you pray, prayerfully consider what you will give in our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Over here we have a visual that represents a heart for each of the $1,000 that we will give toward the Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year. Our goal is $8,000. We pray that you will carefully consider how you can give this year. Thank you.
Terry?
We had an awesome 8 days of Operation Christmas Child, and I want to thank everybody that helped, whether you gave items for our church's packing party, whether you prayed, whether you took in shoeboxes or helped load 3 trailer trucks. We greatly appreciate all the help and prayers that we had. Highland Baptist Church collected 127 boxes here that we prayed for. Tullahoma Drop-Off City here took in 2,820 shoeboxes, and our Southern Middle Tennessee region filled those trailers with 12,247 boxes. Thank you.
Such a great program. Matt.
Got a few things to share real quick. Sunday school teachers, please use the boxes in your rooms to any old Sunday school material. Your classes put their books in those boxes. We'll come back around and collect those here in a week or so. Just want to keep the hallway clear so we're not putting any books and stuff in the hallway so they don't become a tripping hazard. Also, Advent Devos, if you didn't get one last week, there's some on the table as you leave here and out here in front of Pastor's office, one for children and for families. And so that would start today. Also, the quarterly devotionals are out on the side of the stage here. You can pick one of those up. And also, parents, the youth will be meeting tonight at 5. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. I also have a quick announcement that Linda Smith sent me for a WANA program, and she's asking you to pray for the following. We need a game leader for the Awanas, 6:45 to 7:15. Need a person to direct the Awana traffic. That would be from 5:15 to 7:30. And then we need Awana substitutes. And then the Awana store will be on February the 25th. And we also need help with the Jesus birthday party, which is set up right now for December the 17th. And if you can do any of these positions, if you can just do it once, maybe twice a month, that helps out. And if you can't even do that, prayers, prayers, prayers. These children are our future leaders, future part of our church. So it's great to work with them and be a part of it. I got a few other quick announcements. I'll try to make it quick. security training. If you're interested in this program, there's a meeting December 7th at 3 p.m. There's a sign-up sheet outside. If you've got a question, ask Jason Robinson. He'll fill you in about it. There's a Christmas card box out in front. We do that every year. So if you want to bring and drop off your Christmas cards, hopefully all the money you might save on postage, which is quite a bit nowadays, you can donate it to the missions. Those traveling, we just ask traveling mercies for them. Primetimers, December the 9th, it's snack and finger foods, and there is no sign-up sheet. That's not needed. Just show up, bring your food with you, and have a great time, and I think there will be an exchange. Find out more details on that. As far as individual prayer requests, Carolyn Stone is back home. She was in the hospital. I've had people ask about Brenda Gilbert, one of our elderly members. About a month ago, she moved to Washington State to be close to her son. I do understand that she recently fell, and she's been going through some, she's having a hard time adjusting, let's put it that way. So let's keep her in our prayers. And then lastly, there's a family in the I believe it's Manchester area, the Yates family. And the mother passed away about a year and a half ago. There's a father and four daughters. My understanding is the four daughters was in a very serious car accident. Three of them have issues. One of them, Alicia, I believe, is in very serious condition. That's about all I know right now, but if you know them, or just keep that family in your prayers. Would there be anything else? All right, if you'll join me in closing prayer. Our Father, we just come to you this morning just grateful for all the love and the joy and the blessings you provide us. Lord, we're just thankful for all that you do for us. We're so grateful, Father, for Abby as she comes to profess you as her Lord and Savior. And Father, as we go, we just ask you to keep all the families, the Yates family and several others, Father, that need you in a very special way. Just be with each and every one of them. We know, Father, that you know each and every concern. We know, Father, that you know how to answer each of those prayers. Father, as we close now, we just ask that you go with us. Come back tonight, hear our pastor. Father, we just ask that all we do in this coming week, that, Father, it would be a blessing into your heart. All these things we ask, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Come up and give a hand of recognition here to Abby and Paco and Leah.